actually, Tupac is talking about the type of gun, not hexadecimal. What zoi zoi, it's your boy, boy, don't need to be no koi koi. We got a good one here today. We're gonna build upon the conclusion of our last audio development journal, and we're gonna talk about how a mesmerizing rediscovery could make merged mining great again, right? So, upon continuing to think more deeply about what I spoke about in the last audio development, GZ, I basically realized, like, oh shit, this is basically merged mining, right? In a sense, what I was describing, where you could potentially be dedicating your Truth Social Network hashes towards the Bitcoin network, and we're going to get into the details of that and why it could actually work and how fucking cool that is, and how potentially could bring merge mining back. You know, you have merge mining with Dogecoin and Namecoin from back in the day, but it's kind of not as pop. I mean, you know, it's in use, but I think this could be huge. And so that's what I wanted to touch on is, had I heard about merge mining? Of course, I've been, you know, fucking around with Bitcoin. You know, I fucks with Bitcoin since 2013. So, in all honesty, I'd heard about Namecoin way back then. You know, it's like one of the first things you hear about. You read about Bitcoin, and then you see all the forks, and you read about how some of the first forks were created, such as Namecoin, and then eventually Litecoin. I think Namecoin might have been the first, but the point is, I had heard there was this thing, Namecoin, and it used merge mining, and, you know, merge mining was basically when when another blockchain harness the power, the hashing power of Bitcoin. So did I know that statement? Sure, I could have told you that years ago, but I never really grasped the concept, right? At least in depth. And same thing with Dogecoin. Obviously, I knew they switched from, you know, they couldn't really sustain their own mining, so they had to merged mine with Litecoin. I heard about that when it happened years later. Still didn't really grasp how merged mining actually worked and never had a reason to look into it until, you know, I decided to make my own social media network, which could necessitate, almost token for these rewards points, right? And you start thinking about how you would do it. And so, since I use Fierce Principles, I literally just, and if you listen to all the past ADJs, right, audio development journals, you could see the progression in thinking to discovering this process, which seems very similar to merge mining, or similar to this concept of having a difficulty in pools that's like a separate difficulty, and we'll get into all that, right? But, so this is going to be a big one. Let me just sip my tea. If you have a drink, some coffee, anything, feel free to prepare as we go in on this one. And you know, making sounds and such as the sound of a drink as you record your podcast or video or whatever it is actually like a cue subliminally to get people in-tuned. It's almost like neuro-linguistic programming, I think they call it. Interesting stuff. So anyway, let's take a little ride in the Galorian, right? We're gonna hop in the Galorian and we're gonna travel way back in time. So let's go back to Bitcoin, right? So Bitcoin in its block header hash, which we spoke about in the last one, has one space in it that is allocated to what's called the nonce. And we spoke about how the nonce is this iterative value that you can continue to change, which allows you to create these different hashes of the same data, which have a different result, right? I believe it's called the digest, or the fingerprint in case of digital signatures, right? Similar kind of concepts, but by changing this nonce, which in the block header hash was 4 bytes in length, Bitcoin miners iterate on this block header hash until they meet what's called the target difficulty of leading zeros, right? But what happened is, since this length is only 4 bytes in value, and as I'm learning, a byte equals 8 bits, right? The zeros and ones. Bitcoin mining got so competitive that even though this 4 bytes of value allows billions of attempts of computational cycles, if you can believe it, in the early days, miners actually were using those billions of attempts up, right? So miners needed more space to iterate, right? They needed more guesses on the same data. So what they started doing was, well, once they ran up the nonce, which was 4 bytes, they started changing the times. They started, you know, renewing the timestamp, so to speak. So after they did that 4 bytes, which is like billions worth of guesses, they'd change the timestamp, which allowed them more guesses, right? But eventually you got to a point where the blockchain was moving ahead, or you know, it didn't work with the timestamp, right? So they needed even more data. And so now, what was this like allocated specific space in the block header for doing these iterations called the nonce? The nonce changed to also including iterating on the timestamp, and then eventually they needed a lot more data to really, you know, as Bitcoin went to like petahashes in mining, they needed a lot more data, so they started iterating on what's called the Coinbase transaction, right? And the Coinbase transaction allows miners to put in their own address for their own reward, which has no input. So the input data using the lock script, or the script sig data, right, was the, you know, your, that became a new field of nonce, right? A new range of nonces, if you will. That's how the, you know, the intellectuals speak, if you will. So, if you will, the Coinbase input data became this new value for nonce iteration. And so what was this specific space of 4 bytes in the block header hash designated towards iterating called the nonce is now spread out to also, it's basically the nonce really means, and in the Coinbase iteration data, it's called the it's called like the special non-section or something, this new portion of data in the Coinbase transaction, which allows you to iterate, which is essentially, in regular transactions, it's like the scripting language, like the space for scripting in transactions. But in this Coinbase transaction, which is special, it's this space for the nonce, because the Coinbase transaction has no inputs. And so in this special nonce section, which I think it's called, it's something like that, the miners could now add basically between 2 and 100 bytes of arbitrary data, which hugely opened it up, the nonce range of values for iteration, right? Still with me? So you know how Satoshi embedded that message in the Genesis block times, Chancellor on the brink of bailouts or whatever it was, about the bailout that happened that day. That was actually in this spot in the Coinbase transaction. So you're allowed arbitrary data, and, you know, miners use it to designate which pool won and stuff in this data. And then, of course, the output for a Coinbase reward is whoever you put in your own address, whether it's a pool or if an individual miner, that's where you put your own address, and we're going to get to that. And so you had this range of values which could serve as nonce data in Bitcoin candidate blocks for miners hugely expand. Now, this is something I just learned about, because I didn't really grasp the intricacies of mining until recently, but I did know about the concept of the nonce, and I knew about it in the block header hash as 4 bytes. And so without knowing the size of the header hash versus the size of the 2 to 100 bytes in the special nonce section of the input of the Coinbase transaction, I was thinking about, after our last audio development journal, this concept of, well, you could actually rework TSN mining to let people actually hash in the actually attempt Bitcoin hashes, and at the same time be mining for the TSN protocol. Now, before I had all this information about how you could basically embed arbitrary data from up to 100 bytes in your candidate block hashes, right? I was thinking about it a different way, which you're going to see is not necessary. I'm thinking, well, you put a hash of the TSN block in your Bitcoin mining attempt, and I wasn't even sure if you could fit the whole hash, but it turns out you can, thankfully, which is huge. And I'm thinking, well, if you can't fit it, then you put a part of it. And then I'm thinking, well, if you could only put a part of it, that could be trouble, because, you know, you could have this thing called collision resistance where, you know, someone else in the TSN could have a block that has the same characteristics. And then I'm thinking, well, that's not a big deal, because you only have the allotted space of mining in between one block on the TSN to the next, so that's like a day or less. So even if by some crazy way of chance you had 2 TSN blocks which had unique hashes, but still you are cramming this data into Bitcoin blocks, and 2 people mined, you know, 2 different TSN blocks in this freak occurrence, well, it's okay, because you know, who cares if one person would get credit, you know, and they knew about it and they mined it in two different Bitcoin blocks, they could get credit in both TSN addresses. You know, why would that be a problem if you got credit in both? But that's a complex thought, which does make sense, but you don't have to understand it, so bear with me. And it is important, though, because it led me to another train of thoughts, which is that we really have our own proof of work in our own TSN historical records, which is really interesting, so we'll come back to that. You know, if we use this merge mining-like form of mining for the TSN. So I'm thinking, well, maybe you could fit the whole TSN block hash in your Bitcoin mining attempt, and then, and even if you can't, it's okay. And so without having all the information, I'm thinking that, and then I'm like, well, you know, but if it's taking all of the nonce value, then how are you really going to have all these, like, hundreds or thousands of attempts towards Bitcoin mining if you're taking up all the nonce data, right? If you follow. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, that's okay, because if everyone's using the same Bitcoin nonce, they could just change the TSN address, and so you'd get credit for each attempt on the TSN by changing your output address, and you could own all these different addresses, and you'd be changing the output, and that would be a different attempt on the Bitcoin network, if you follow. Real recognize real. Like, if you're a complex thinker, you are still following, but if you're not, it's okay, because I'm going to break it down for you, baby. So, it turns out you can literally fit a whole SHA-256 hash in the special nonce section of a Coinbase transaction on Bitcoin. So, voila, you've created TSN merge mining. And so since you could fit up to 100 bytes and a SHA-256 hash, which is what our TSN blocks will be identified as a SHA-256 hash, since those are 256 bits, right, in length, that comes out to about 32 bytes, right? So you could fit the whole 32 bytes in a Bitcoin mining attempt and even have all this extra room for actual hashing. So you could have all these people hashing on Bitcoin and also hashing on the TSN. So how would this work, right? You're gonna do a Bitcoin hash, and this could even be level one difficulty, you know, on a CPU, right? Just like you know, how miners submit to mining pools lower difficulties, you could be on a CPU mining towards both the TSN and Bitcoin by doing this hash where you reference the most recent TSN block, candidate block, which you're referencing the most recent published block, which you're hoping is going to be acknowledged in the TSN candidate block, and you are putting your own address in the Coinbase output of this block, and you're putting the TSN block hash in the Coinbase input, and you're using the rest of the space to iterate. So you could do as many attempts as you want, and those are legitimate proof of work Bitcoin attempts, okay? And you have to be running a TSN node, right, in order to do this. And then you're pinging me over these hashes, okay? And all these hashes have the most recent TSN published block hash within them, right? So that's pretty cool. So you wouldn't really even need a digital signature. You would just need to send me this hash, right? And this hash and this candidate block, right? This hash attempt. Well, there would be a very low difficulty to start, like in Bitcoin, which you could do on your computer. And so that would be like the TSN difficulty, which is like these lower level difficulties involved with mining pools where you're like proving your hashing. So you're doing all your attempts with the most recent TSN block in the nonce field, okay, in the special nonce section, and you're putting your own addresses like you would in Bitcoin mining, and you're just hashing until you meet this really, really low level of difficulty. And when you meet it, that's when you ping me or whoever the cloud issuer is. That's when you ping it over, right? And so you don't even need to sign it because your address, which can be used as an input in a TSN internal consensus transaction, right, is designated in this candidate block hash solution, right? Now, it's not a solution to the Bitcoin proof of work until maybe if there was enough competition and you hit the fucking jackpot, who knows, anything is possible. But the whole point is, like, if you're gonna be doing work anyway, wouldn't that be cool if you could be doing it also for the Bitcoin network? And it's another incentive to mine on the TSN, which is really like merge mining. Now, there may be some intricacies different in merge mining. Again, I don't know because I haven't looked into merge mining in depth. I just sort of came to this on, you know, fierce principles. So whether or not there is irrelevant to me. I will look into it just likely just because it could help, but, you know, and the actualies will be like, well, what's so cool about merge mining? We've had it for, you know, since Namecoin. Well, it's not that it's cool. It's that the fact that you could create these historical records using merge mining and proof, back to how there's this other form of TSN proof of work which secures these historical records, right? So this is the other reason why this is fucking cool. I spoke about in a past ADJ how, you know, how I was trying to hack myself and hack the TSN, and how in practice it's not really doable to do this, but, you know, you're going to try and go back 5 years in time and pretend, you know, it's today and recreate your historical record, you know, which is like breaking the rules, but you're not an honest actor, and even though there's not a huge reward for this, and in practice it's hard to do because if you're interacting with anyone, their timestamps come into the mix, and if there's mining, that comes into the mix, and especially if you're linking to things in your record, like there's those internal timestamps of Twitter and YouTube and whatever else, or articles like a zero hedge or anything. All those are internal timestamps which are put into the record. So it's really, in practice, incredibly hard to recreate these records. You can't go ahead of time, right? Because you're establishing Bitcoin and Litecoin time if the blocks haven't happened yet, you don't have these occurrence proofs. But I was saying how theoretically, but not in practice, you could go backwards in time. And so I was trying to hack myself, right? And so could you go 5 years back in time and recreate this historical record, right? And so the answer was no, not in practice, not really. But say you were going to try because you're not an honest actor, even though there's not much of a reward to do so. You're going to try. I spoke about how you could start the record off by actually embedding an accounts directory TSN reference in the actual Bitcoin blockchain, and that is an incredibly good and valid solution. But nonetheless, it has a cost, and it would just be for that one, and then you're sort of building upon that anchor accounts TSN reference transaction, right? Do y'all follow me? So that totally does work and, you know, patches this sort of theoretical but impractical hack, right? But now with this merged mining approach, okay, that attack almost becomes that much harder, becomes somewhat increasingly more mitigated, right? Because let's think about this in depth. So, by embedding or acknowledging, I should say, these Bitcoin hash attempts, which will supply issuance on the TSN network, by acknowledging those or embedding them in our own TSN blocks, throughout every block we'll be embedding this data for the last block, right? You are creating your own TSN historical record proof of work, which has a huge, an increasingly harder cost to redo as blocks are built, like in Bitcoin. So with that considered, you can't go back 5 years, or the cost to go back 5 years in time and try and create one of these TSN historical records with your own private key and your own digital signatures becomes exponentially harder, like in Bitcoin, depending on the amount of work that goes in to TSN mining. Boom! Sorry, I didn't mean to hurt your ears, but boom. That's big right there. Think about it. Meditate on it and let it seep into your soul, and we'll be back for part 2.